It's Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In Genesis chapter 1, God mentions God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. Then, go to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So God divided the heavens, the firmament. You can read chapter 1 there, but there's three heavens in the Bible. The first heaven is our atmosphere, where the birds fly. Then the second heaven is when God put the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the space. That's the second heaven. And it's called in the Bible four times the heaven and the heaven of heavens. Then the third heaven, we're going to look at later, it's only found one time in your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and that is the dwelling place of God. That is where the throne of God is. So there's three heavens in your Bible. The first heaven is the atmosphere, second is the space and planets and stars, and the third heaven is where God is. It is sad, heaven is so mystical, and it is so surreal and out there that it's artificial. To a lot of people. To many Christians, heaven is so artificial and they don't have an understanding of it that they beg doctors to use their skill to keep them from going there. Now, I'm not looking for the next train out either, but you know when I want to go to heaven? I want to leave when God's done. Amen? I don't want to just exist here. I know heaven is my home, and we sing it, you know, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. I know we sing it. However, it is a real place. It is a tangible place. It's real like this pulpit. It's wood. It's a real place. And too much Hollywood has entered people's thinking. When you mention, oh, if you die, do you know you're going to go to heaven? And then they picture floating around on a cloud. That is the farthest thing from what heaven is like. You could almost say that's a pagan rendition of heaven. Take your Bible now and go to John chapter 14. I'm just going to give you some scripture tonight, and we'll look at this, and I hope this means something to you. But John chapter 14, look at verse number 1, and there's obviously a lot of different scripture. I want to look at the heaven tonight that we'll go to when we die. In other words, the heaven, not the atmosphere or the space. I want to look at the heaven to where when our loved ones who've gone on before us, what we'll see when we get there. John chapter 14, if this isn't marked in your Bible, it's a wonderful thing, but watch this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. So he's going to come and then receive us unto himself. He's talking about the rapture here. He said, unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Two things about this passage. Number one, when we think of mansion, we think of a fancy house. We're used to living in somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 square feet, maybe 5,000. When you get to heaven, Jesus said, if something were to happen, either the rapture or if you were to pass and go home, one of the things that you would see in heaven are mansions. They're not like what we have here. The word mansion there is talking about a single space room. Think of walking into a gymnasium. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. Think of walking into a gymnasium. It is a large, doesn't it say, he hath set my feet in a large place? Doesn't it say that in Psalms? He set my feet in a large place, a lot of space. It's not a fancy house like what we know down here. It's a very large room. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare. That word prepare is wonderful. I'd like you to think about it. It means Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. Think of a big room. I don't know. It doesn't say how big. It's just think of walking into a vast room where, wow, there's a lot of space in here. Now think of everything that he's put in there. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. That word means I've taken into consideration your favorite color, your favorite temperature, your favorite flavor, your favorite... God says, I know everything that you like, And when you get saved, God prepares a mansion for you that will have everything in it, not a house, a huge room that is, it'll be decorated exactly the way you like it. And see, the hard part is we're going to end tonight with, God says there is nothing on earth, nothing, that helps you visualize or see what heaven is like. Nothing. It's unspeakable. It's unutterable. And I'll show you that tonight. So I'm trying to show you, okay, walking into a gymnasium and, wow, everything is just right. And God says, I know your favorite smell. And I know your favorite. God says, I know everything you like. And yet, heaven will be beyond that. I go and prepare a place for you. You've heard the old statement. How long did it take God to create the earth? 6 days, right? Since Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, how long ago was that? 2,000 years ago. If God can make the world and the universe in 6 days, what kind of a mansion is He making for you in 2,000 years? Isn't that wonderful? In other words, it'll far surpass anything. It's just something to meditate on and think about. Heaven is going to be a place of rejoicing. Heaven is supposed to be our comfort. Jesus said here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, heaven is not supposed to be scary. Death is scary because I haven't died yet. I don't know what death is like. I honestly believe, though, when you read 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll look at it sometime, when a Christian dies, they don't die like somebody that's lost. The sting of death is sin. Oh, death, where is thy sting? That doesn't mean Christians die painlessly. It just means there's something different about when a Christian passes than when somebody who doesn't have Christ. Yes, death could be, is a little scary, but heaven should be, you should enjoy thinking about heaven. It should be something that you dream about. It should be something that you long for. You take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. While you're going there, 1 Peter chapter 1. Heaven's going to be a place of joy and singing. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Heaven is a place of joy. Isaiah 35:10 says, The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. See, we take the happy things in on this earth and we say, that's what heaven's going to be like. But we're so far from it. We're so far down this way. There's going to be joy there. There's going to be, God is making a place for you until the new Jerusalem and the new earth, and the new heaven and the new earth. But God is making a place for you that is everything you like. God knows you like nobody knows you. And it's a place to look. You say, that's the best I can tell you. It's a place of joy. It's a place of singing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a, ready? A lively hope. It's a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God says this hope of heaven, it is supposed to be something that motivates you. It's a lively hope. In other words, I've heard people say, oh, I don't like talking about heaven. It makes me nervous. God says, I've begotten you to a lively hope. Go ahead and dream about it. What's my mansion going to look like? What's it going to be like? What's it? Go ahead. Read your Bible and think about it. It's something that's supposed to be a lively hope. God says this, you're in 1 Peter. I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 John, God says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us because it knew Him not. You're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Hoping for heaven is supposed to purify you. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. I'm supposed to long for heaven. It's not supposed to be something that's dreary or definitely get Hollywood out of your mind. Are you there? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I said, heaven is our comfort. Heaven is our hope. We're supposed to look forward to heaven. This passage here in verse 1 talks about our new body. Are you ready? For we know that if our earthly house, that's our body, of this tabernacle, were dissolved. That's how God describes death. If this tabernacle, this body is dissolved, and that's what happens. When the spirit leaves and the soul leaves, then the body just disintegrates back into the minerals and the dust that it comes from. We dissolve. Then watch this. It says here, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's talking about our new body. We have a building of God. If anything happens to this, if I'm saved, I know I have a body in heaven that I'm waiting for. And glory to God. No more glasses, no more fillings, no more hearing aids. I have a building of God in the heavens. Look at verse 2. For in this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house from which is from heaven. Christians don't long for death. They long for heaven. There's a difference. He said, we're longing to get our new body. I'm not longing to die. Life is precious. I'm not suicidal. However, I am longing for my new body that isn't going to get tired anymore. It's not going to ache. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to have flaws. Look here, verse number 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall be found naked. We shall not be found naked. In other words, we're looking forward to our new body. For we that are in this tabernacle, in this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That passage right there just talks about, I can't wait to get my new body. A body that's not tired anymore. A body that doesn't get sick anymore. A body that doesn't hurt anymore. I'm longing. God says, God uses Paul to express the desire, Lord, I'm longing for my body. If you don't long for your body, then you're not getting up early enough, okay? If you just get up a little early so you groan, you'll long for your body. One day I'm not going to be tired anymore, okay? Now, you're there and you say, what's our body going to be like? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the body that we have now is made of God. And it is energized. The life of this body is in the blood. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, your new body, when you get to heaven, your new body, because obviously after the rapture, is going to be you're a body, soul, and spirit. Now, your new body is going to be a body, soul, and spirit. But it'll be different. How is it different? You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this. Verse number 50. It says here, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You say, what's that mean? What takes place at the rapture? If the rapture took place tonight, trumpet is sounded, come up hither, and it's time to go. God says our new body will not have blood in it. That's why if this body was changed and the glasses fall off and I'm all in the twinkling of an eye, it's there in 1 Corinthians 15. If the glasses fell off, all the blood would run out of everybody that's being raptured. As you get your new body, your clothes would drop in a pile, you get your robe of white in the body, and all the blood would run out. Your new body won't have blood in it. It'll be energized by the Spirit. There's natural bodies that are energized by the blood. The life's in the blood. And then our new body will be energized by the Spirit. It appears that way as you read 1 Corinthians 15. But that as far as our new body will not have blood in it. It will have. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead and he told Thomas, he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Reach forth your finger. It's a physical body. It's a tangible body. You can touch it. You can touch it, but it won't have blood in it. Okay? That's our new body. Did you know that we'll go to Matthew chapter 17? You say, about this new body. It'll eat regular food. Okay? And we're not going to look at that tonight. But Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. and look at verse number 1. And I like thinking about this story, and this also brings some comfort too. Ready? It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them out unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." So before the crucifixion, this is Jesus in his glorified body. That's why they call this the Mount of Transfiguration. So that James, Peter, and John are there, they fall asleep, and Jesus shows his glorified body, and he shines white. And watch what takes place. It says here, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," or Elijah. How did they know that was Moses and Elijah? That is the verses that we use to say, when we get to heaven, am I going to know Grandpa who went to heaven saved? You'll know him immediately. You say, well, they'll be a little different. You'll have the same form that you have. It just won't be as punished as you've punished it, okay? Like if you're short, you'll be short. If you're tall, you'll be tall. But you'll have the same form. You'll have the same form, but you'll be able to recognize family and loved ones immediately. Peter, James, and John had never seen Moses or Elijah. But they were able to say, "Jesus, shall we make 3 tabernacles? Because this is wonderful." How'd you know that was Moses? They just knew. They just knew. They just knew. Here, I need to, one more thing. Go back to 1 Corinthians now. Look at else about your body. What about our body? It'll have the same form that we have now. We'll be able to recognize it immediately. You won't have to ask anybody their name in heaven. You'll know. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? You'll be able to, right when you look at them, you'll be able to tell who they are. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 40. 1 Corinthians 15:40. "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." Verse 41, "There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." Those verses right there teach that your body is going to have a shine or a glory to it when we get to heaven. Do you see that? And each body is going to differ one from another. Do you know what determines your shine or your glory? How many souls you lead to Christ. Daniel 12:3. We don't have time to go to it tonight, but "they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." What is wisdom? He that winneth souls is wise. You're not going to have to ask. You're going to be amazed when we get to heaven what you're not going to have to ask. You're not going to have to ask. You'll automatically know their name. You'll know who they are. You're not going to have to ask, "Did you serve the Lord? Did you serve the Lord?" You'll be able to tell. Some will be a nightlight, and some will be a fog light. But it says everybody has a different glow, or a different shine, or a different glory. But you're not going to have to ask in heaven, "What'd you do for the Lord?" Because what determines how bright you are is your soul winning. Every time you lead someone to Christ, God turns up the wattage a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. So what determines your shine? And I'll let you read that later, okay? But isn't that wonderful? Let me give you a few more things, and then I want to get into what one of the things here. You remember after the resurrection in John 19, and in some of the latter chapters of the Gospels, the door being shut. Now just listen. The door being shut, that night Jesus appeared to them in the midst. And the first thing he said was, "Don't be afraid," because he didn't open the door. In your new body, when you get to heaven, like if you won't know any barriers. There won't be any physical barriers like when we, like this. You won't know any physical barriers. The door was shut and Jesus was in the midst. And then on resurrection morning, do you remember when he told Mary not to touch him because he had not yet ascended to his Father? That means he went all the way to the third heaven and came back. That's faster than the speed of light. That's why some say it's the speed of thought. You'll travel at the speed of thought. You'll think about a place and bing, you'll be there. That's how come some will travel really fast and some will travel really slow. I told you that before. Well, where's Cooter? Well, he's coming. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Be there in a second. But just like you say, where do you get that from? God says when we are raptured, we'll be like Him. So all I got to do is look at Jesus' resurrected body, and that's what we'll be like. Jesus ate food. Remember when He prepared the food on the shore for the disciples and said, come and eat? All things. He had prepared fish on the for Peter and the disciples. You say, are we going to eat regular food? I think we will. I know there's going to be biscuits and gravy in heaven. There has to be, okay? things to think about. I would like you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me give this point here. What's another reason? Heaven is supposed to be our hope. Heaven is something we long for. While you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, have you ever thought of this? It's also where we're going to see Jesus. I think that's one of the neatest thoughts, to just shut everything out and just sit down and think about, I'm going to see Him. Today I got to tell somebody about Him and how He died for him. I've never seen Him face to face. I've never looked into the eyes of someone who's never sinned. But I'm going to get to do that when we get to heaven. Can you imagine? What's He like? I know He's standard height. What's His voice sound like? Have you ever thought about what's it going to be like to see Jesus and to be with Him? You know what we're going to do when we see Him? Same thing everybody else did when they see Him for the first time. I don't care if you want to go to Daniel or if you want to go to Revelation. First thing everybody does when they see Jesus is they drop and they fall on their face. And guess what we're going to do? Same thing. Can you imagine saying to Jesus, wow, it's really You? And Jesus saying, yes, it's really Me. You died for Me. Yes, I died for you. If you go to Matthew, they fell at His feet and held His feet, and Jesus said, all hail. I like that. I just would love to hear the Lord say, I died for you, now worship Me. And Lord, Thou art worthy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'll get to be with Jesus. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What is heaven going to be like? What is it going to be like? Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at this. Verse 1. It is not expedient for Me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. That's the only time you'll find the third heaven mentioned in your Bible, is right there. Many think this is when Paul got stoned in Lystra. And they stoned him and they thought he was dead, and then he revived and they got him up and they walked him to the next place. So many think that this is, he's been stoned and he's had a near-death experience or whatever. And while he is taken up as dead, he is caught up to the third heaven. What's the third heaven? Remember, atmosphere is the first heaven in your Bible. Second heaven is the sun, moon, and stars and space. And the third heaven is the residence of God, where God is. Now, he says, look at verse number 3. And I knew such a man. And he says it again, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. That's the second time he said that. He said, I can't remember. He said, I don't think I was in my body, but he said, it sounds funny to be talking like you're out of your body. So he said, God knows. And then look at verse number 4. How that he was caught up into paradise. Several words here. paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Let me just give you a few definitions. That word paradise, it's used three times in the New Testament, and it means like a park or like a theme park or a little world like Eden. Whenever you go to a theme park, everything, the decorations, the landscaping, the sounds, the colors, everything is normally, if it's immaculate. It's an experience. The word paradise there means like a park. Like when you go to, you know, I have not been to Disney World, but if you went to Disney World, okay, it's just like, wow, everything matches, everything goes, this is amazing. He said, I was caught up, he said it was paradise, and then he said, and heard unspeakable words. The word unspeakable, it means inexpressible. God is saying here in your Bible, there are no words or vocabulary to express what I saw. I can't describe it because there's no words. There's nothing on earth that will help me convey what I saw. It was like, no, it was better than that. It was like, no, it was better than that. It was like, it's unspeakable. It was so amazing. There's about 600,000 words in the English language. 50,000 of them you'd recognize, and most people in here, I think, use between 10 and 15,000 English words. Out of all those words, he said, there's nothing I can tell you that it was like. Heaven is so... it's amazing. Now, it gets better. Watch this. He says here, and he says, I heard unspeakable words. If you'll write down something, that word heard, it means to hear with all the senses. Because what I'm getting ready to say, this is where I'm getting this from. I heard unspeakable words. That word heard means to hear with all of your senses. What are your senses? Your sight, your smell, your taste, your touch. Your hearing, those are the five senses, right? He said, I heard things with all of my senses. When God spoke, it smelled amazing. It sounded, for God so loved the world. It sounded, but it tasted. He said, what I heard, I experienced with all of... He said, it felt good. I'm hearing God speak, a conversation, and God, and he says, I saw it. I saw the words. I saw the words. I heard the words. I tasted the words. I smelled the words. I touched the words. He said, there's nothing like that down here on earth that we experience. He said, what I saw, he said, I experienced with all of my senses. The word not lawful, it means it's out of my bounds. It doesn't mean that you're in trouble or you're a lawbreaker if he was to tell it. He says it's not lawful. It's totally out of my ability to tell you what heaven was like. Isn't that beautiful? Because our sin nature has darkened our senses. Like when you get sick, you ever get a cold or the flu and somebody fixes you something that you really like and it doesn't taste good? Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to you? It's like, oh, I normally like this. How come I don't like this? It's because you're sick. Your senses are dull. Right now, we're in a sinful body, and we don't see things clearly. Take your Bible. Keep your finger right there. We'll come back to this in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. That's why when we say you'll walk into your mansion and you'll... enjoy it? Yeah, everything's... But you'll enjoy all of your senses. It'll be totally encompassing of all of your senses. And there's nothing like that we do here on earth. It's going to be so amazing. It is literally something. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 12. This is what I was talking to you about. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when we get to heaven, face to face... Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So right now our sight and our senses are limited, darkly. We're in a place where we can't really see things the way they are. But when we get to heaven, this sinful body won't be there anymore. And my senses, I'll be able to... Can you imagine hearing... Okay, we say, God loves you. If somebody says, I love you, think about God saying, I love you. You're not just going to go, wow. You're going to go, that smelled good. That tasted great. I've never tasted anything like that. That felt amazing. When God speaks, you say, I think you're taking this thing too far. You're in 1 Corinthians 13. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them, those things, unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Watch, last verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know what God has prepared for us in heaven? His words. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. No, you mean, well, when you read it, you think, oh, that's sweet and comforting. No, right now it's comforting. But when we get to heaven, you're going to read the words of God and what God has prepared for you. And as He shows you, God, that's delicious. Wow, it sounds great and it looks and it feels. I'm just telling you, when we get to heaven, there's nothing here on earth that compares. That's why I don't like, every time I hear somebody's made a new movie about heaven, I always go, they're not touching the hem of the garment. They're not even coming close. It's probably going to be somebody walking through a bunch of fog. You know what I mean? And then they're going to try to, Hollywood cannot produce it. Nothing here on earth is like as wonderful, I have not seen nor ear heard. The true, I have written in my Bible, this is true about heaven and it's true about hell. Just like there's nothing here on earth that helps us describe heaven and how wonderful it's going to be, there is nothing here on earth also that can describe what hell is like. And just like the pleasure and the joy and the what we're going to experience in heaven is so wonderful, the torments and pain of hell cannot literally be, your mind cannot conceive it. Your mind cannot conceive it. Let me see here. Let me just give you a few thoughts here. You say, are you sure? You know, one of the things we're going to do in heaven is eat God's words. You know, have you heard the thing? This doesn't sound very exciting, but when we get to heaven, we're going to sit around and study the Bible. And everybody goes, really? I think we're going to do more than study the Bible. I think we're going to eat the Bible. That's how come, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We think, well, get saved and see how good salvation is. I think when we get to heaven, didn't Jesus say, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood? That's spiritual talk. We know he's not talking about cannibalism. He is the Word of God. He's the one. He's the one that we'll be feasting on and eating. And I'm talking the Word of God. I'm not talking about, so get out of your head. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. Zombies or whatever. Get that out of your head. This is Jesus. His name is the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. We will eat in heaven. We will, and it'll be unlike anything you've ever had before. That's one of the things that we'll do. Let me see here. Let's go to one more passage, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll close with this. Heaven is a real, legitimate place. It's not a place of floating. Hollywood has nothing to do with it. It is so much more wonderful than that. It's a place where we'll be in our body that will not be hindered by any objects. We'll travel at the speed of thought. We'll have a glow about us and a shine. What determines our shine? Our soul winning. Our soul winning determines our shine. How bright your body will be, your glory, when you get to heaven. Then when you read Revelation 21, this heaven is the new heaven and new earth. If you go to heaven now, hopefully you don't, okay, but if the rapture takes place, you won't see Revelation 21 yet for at least 1,000 years, 1,007, okay? This heaven here, let's read it real quick and ready, then there's a difference between this heaven in Revelation 21 and the heaven you'll go to if you were to pass on to be with the Lord, all right? Look at verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Stop. The Jews inherit the earth. Who's going to get the new earth? So this earth right now that we're on is going to explode. Pass away, 2 Peter chapter 3, right? With a great noise. Then God's going to do the great white throne judgment. There's found no place for those. Some think hell's in the middle of the earth. I wouldn't argue about it. I don't have a problem with that. But when the earth explodes, then all those in hell are floating. They appear before the great white throne judgment. They're cast into the lake of fire. And now this new heaven and new earth starts, and there's no seas. That's what it says. There's no seas on there. God's making it to be inhabited. Who inherits the earth? The Jews do. That Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven, that city of gold, who inherits that? We do, the bride, the Gentiles, the Gentile church. So the Jews are going to inherit the earth, and the Gentile bride is going to inherit this city, this new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. It's going to, let me see if I can go through this quickly with you. Ready? And verse number 2, and I, John, saw the holy city. No, look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And then look at this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When does God remove our memory? In that verse there, after we get to the new heaven and new earth. You say, why are we crying? Because of everybody that we could have witnessed to and we didn't. Remember chapter 20, right there a little bit before? That's the great white throne judgment. That's where people are being thrown into the lake of fire, and it is settled forever. So when does God come and wipe away our tears? Personally. That doesn't happen until the new heaven and the new earth. Okay? Then watch this. Verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like as a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. I'm almost done. Stick with me. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length of it is as large as the breadth. And they measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So here's this perfect square. And it's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. You know how that's halfway across America. That's from the East Coast to a little bit beyond the Mississippi. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles high. When you see a plane, that's about 5 or 6 miles. With a jet, that's only 5 or 6 miles. So here is this perfect square, crystal, looking beautiful, 1,500 miles. Watch this. It says here, I'm going to skip on down, verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. You know what I think is wonderful? This city that we're going to be dwelling in when time is no more. The streets are glass, but not just streets of gold. Gold that is so clear, I've never seen gold that way, but gold that is so clear you can look through it. Then it says, not just the streets are made of gold, the whole city is made of gold. You can see through it. Ah, I want windows. Okay. It says here, that's why when we talk about being on streets of gold in heaven, if you go to heaven now, I don't know what you'll see. I know Paul said it was unspeakable, what you'll see now. It's unlawful. It's out of bounds to talk about. But you'll experience, your senses will be alive. But the streets of gold that we talk about and the heaven that's solid gold and all this, that doesn't come until later. This city here, this heaven, is different than what you would see if you went to heaven now. All right? And one more. I just like verse number 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can you imagine a city? It says the whole city is gold, not just the streets. And you can see through it, you can see up above. If it's 12 layers, that's over 100 miles a layer. 100 miles till you get to the next. I don't know how many layers. It doesn't say. I just guessed 12 because that's the number of government in the Bible. But have you ever thought God will be the light and God will be the one? I mean, how it'll radiate? Heaven is supposed to be a place for a Christian that we rejoice in, we find comfort in, and we long one day. I want to see the loved ones that have gone on to heaven. And I want to see Jesus. And it's supposed to be something, man, I can't wait. What will it be like to hear John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Wow. That's delicious. That sounds, feels, sees, it looks great. Oh, look at the words. I've never seen anything like this. Heaven isn't supposed to be scary for any child of God. It's supposed to be a comfort. I hope tonight encourages you, rejoicing in heaven and thinking about it. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for what you, a lively hope, an inheritance that you've set before us in the heavens that we look forward to. And Lord, thank you that there's nothing on this earth that even comes close to helping us describe what heaven's going to be like.